This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Well, another big piece that they were trying to argue that they shouldn't be looking at, which tells me there's probably something there, is the Amazon search history. And there was a couple other search histories as well and purchase histories. One would start to wonder, okay, we're going after Amazon. We don't want to see this purchase history. Why would that be? Like, what's on that purchase history? And if we end up seeing a K-bar knife and sheath on there, is it kind of case over?
Look, the best argument for the defense in that scenario is that they don't have the weapon, you know, so that
they have the sheath though. I mean, they don't have the weapon,
I get it, but you got the sheath.
Okay. And if the sheath matches up to the same one that would have come with that model again, just because I don't believe we have that, do we? We don't have a purchase history stating he bought a Kobar knife, correct?
Well, we don't know.
We don't know yet. It's just nothing that's come out there. I know that's been speculated on.
Well, Coffendaffer flat out said it on the Dateline thing that somebody leaked it to her, mm-hmm. that the search history is showing that he bought it on Amazon.
That's where we've heard it. It's an allegation at this moment.
Correct. It was on Dateline, and I'm like, whoa, like that's big. Like somebody broke the gag. To me, that's game over.
Yeah.
If you've got him buying it on the Amazon, on Amazon, and it's like, as soon as I heard about the K-bar and the sheath, I mean, I went on Google immediately. Mm-hmm. I found the exact same sheath and K-bar knife, and it's a set. It's got the Marine Corps logo on it.
Yeah.
It's the exact same thing. And I'm like, all right, well, this is not it. Cause I was like, all right, well, is this something that's like issued by the Marines or, going into the search? I'm like, is this like a difficult thing to get your hands on? And it's not.
No.
The question then becomes this guy who's getting his whatever, I think he was getting his PhD in criminology, right? Is that what he was doing? How fucking stupid do you need to be? you're going to go and commit these fucking horrific murders. You're a criminology guy and you're going to leave a paper trail with Amazon.
Yeah.
That you bought the fucking knife, I guess you'd have to think, well, certainly he didn't anticipate that he'd be stupid enough to accidentally leave the sheet at the crime scene.
Yes.
What I mean? He's like thinking, all right, I'm going to buy this thing. There's not going to be any trace of it. They're never going to get to me.
And that's where I think Koberger's narcissism would come into play, where it's like, I could never, fail this. I could never be, something could not go wrong. This is going to go smoothly. I believe it is because I'm so detailed and da-da-da. And that's where the idiocy comes in, where it's, no, you're not that smart. You may think you are. You think you're better than everybody else in the room. You think you can talk to people this way or treat people this way, just the pattern that we've seen in him. And it's like, oh, well, this explains that. He thought he was going to be able to get away with this and there'd be no worry for looking at that search history. Where I believe he's a very smart guy in some areas, but then when it comes to like social constructs, I don't think he has any freaking clue there.
Oh my God. He's got no ability to be able to operate in society mm-hmm. as a normal person.
No.
Like, I mean, that's just evident. Like, you know, from the interviews you've heard of people that have had any kind of interactions with them, whether it be girls that went on a Tinder date on with her, yeah. or students that were in his class who's like, he's a fucking weirdo and
yeah.
he's mean and all the things you hear about him are just like, the guy just did not know how to function like a normal human being when he's around other people. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like adds up, right?
It makes sense. You
hear the white snow thing, that thing that he wrote up talking yeah. about this thing he has. I'm like, this guy kind of sounds like the dude.
In his mind, he thinks he's being under the radar on so many of these things, but it's so obvious to anyone that he's not. But that's a problem with a lot of folks that are like that, that are not murderers. You can just tell, like they, think you're kind of being, but you're not. I mean, everyone can tell what's going on here. And that's where I think it all falls apart for Koberger. So you have the the DNA is staying in, the cell phone tracking data is staying in, pretty much everything is staying in, nothing is going out. So now they're going to have to try and argue all of these points. I get, you know, going to try and argue the floor model, maybe. I mean, I guess, but if you got it on your Amazon receipts, that doesn't go very far for you. You know, it's just, where do you go? I mean, can you argue the cell data, the pinging of it? I know it's like, yes, there's multiple towers, and yes, it does cover a certain distance. People will be surprised how small of a distance each tower actually covers. I think if you really look at it, you got that. God knows what else they have on the digital footprint. I'm assuming they're going to have some GPS information from his phone as well that will probably further corroborate the pinging as far as more of an exact location as to where he was at, other than when the phone's off. What do you got here? I mean, what else do they have to try and argue this other than he likes to look at the stars?
Yeah, in terms of the night of, remember, they put forth that they've got an alibi. Right?
Yeah, he likes to look at the stars.
Right, he's a big stargazer guy. He takes those late night creepy drives out there because that's what he likes to do. And you know, so like I'm assuming the night of, and if I'm Koberger and I'm like kind of trying to create this narrative leading up to me doing this thing, you know, like for months leading up to it, I'm going to do exactly that. I'm going to go out and drive. I'm going to establish that I do this. It's my habit. I enjoy it. I get to think. I like being alone. There's nobody driving, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm Koberger, I'm driving out to this forested area and I'm fucking leaving my phone there. Like literally so that it tracks while I'm there. So that it, like if a signal can pick it up, it'll pick it up as me being in that area at the time that the state thinks the murders took place. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, then I'm driving to the area doing the deed. You know, and then I'm leaving, you know, and it's like, and then I'm going and scooping my phone, and then it it's back on the grid. And, you know, so like, I don't know that the night of phone data is going to be as powerful as the state thinks it's going to be, depending on what they have. And again, I have no fucking clue what they have other than what we've heard. I think that it's really powerful circumstantial evidence, the 12 occasions that he happened to be creeping around that residence. I think it's powerful evidence if they are able to put him around King Road the following morning after his stupid ass remembered or figured out that he forgot the fucking sheath. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh my God, like I gotta drive up. Because my hypothesis on that was, okay, he realized at some point he didn't have the sheath anymore during the course of the night over the next few hours.
Yeah.
I don't have the sheath. You know, like can you imagine that realization at that moment? Oh my God.
Yeah.
Because you know, he like clearly didn't, if it's him, he didn't realize it when he's walking out of the place. Like he just like it's, your mind's going a million miles an hour. You've just committed four horrific murders. If he's the sick fuck that we think that he might be, like he's probably exhilarated. You know, he's not thinking of it in a way that a normal person would be like, oh my God, what did I do? He's probably walking around with a raging heart on like a fucking freak. And, you know, I mean, who knows what's going on in his head? Whatever it is, it's not making sure that he's got all his shit with him.
No.
You know, so when he figures that out. So, I mean, in my estimation, you know, I mean, there's two arguments you can make. You could be like, oh, he's that guy that creeps by the crime scene just to relive it, and because he wants to see what's going on over there. You know, you hear about killers doing that mm-hmm. a lot. Or he's hoping that the girl that was still in there that may have seen him, and I don't know if he saw her back. It would seem like he would have had to, that she's sleeping. And if law enforcement's not there, do I creep back in to get that fucking thing?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you would have to really, really be contemplating getting back in that house to go get that goddamn thing if you left it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you're like everything that you planned, everything that you did in terms of preparing for this night has been shot to shit because you left that sheath in there. So no one's ever going to convince me that he wasn't there contemplating getting back into that house to go grab that thing.
Sure.
So like, to me, that's very powerful evidence. You know, like, I mean, depending on what the exact story is behind the, you know, what the alibi is, you know, I mean, like, I mean, look, the defense is going to have things to argue. You know, we know that there were two other male blood DNA sources that were found at the house. We got the one on the railing. We got the one in the glove. You know, I mean, those can be powerful pieces of evidence for the defense to try to sow reasonable doubt. You know, I mean,
when they got nothing else, I mean, I don't think they're super powerful when you really look at them in context, but it's something.
It's something. I mean, you know, I mean, you, like, obviously the counter argument to that, you know, is that it's a party house.
Yeah.
You know, it's like some dude who just blasted a rail a blow and does way too much of it got a bloody nose when he was
A hangnail and you're holding onto a railing, or you have a hangnail, or you have a cut on your fingers, which any of us do at any given time usually, and you put on a glove and that glove has your DNA in it, or just go, I mean, you know what it's like, you live in Chicago, you go walking around anytime in winter, go for a block, you're gonna find three gloves and a hat on the road or on the sidewalk just because people drop that shit. So it's not like, ooh, a glove.
Like, right. So, I mean, like, and that's what they could be the pushback from the state on that. You know, like, I mean, look, it's a college house. There's a lot of people in and out of it. It is flat out a party house.
Yeah.
Like, that is established. And it is cold as fuck in Idaho in the winter, and every single human being wears gloves. So, you know, depending on the amount of blood, if we're talking about, like it all boils down to, like, we're hearing, like, broad strokes of what the evidence is. You know, I mean, like, to say we don't know, the only thing that I'll say about the sheath DNA is in at this point, I mean, we know that Othram did it, and Othram's a phenomenal lab, is that we don't know the quality of it, right? We know that it's there. We know that the state is claiming that their lab has made the match. I mean, they're going to attack the match. Mm-hmm. They're going to say it's a shit sample, that there's not enough matches on the loci for it to be, it shouldn't even be admissible in court. It's like, it's a shit. It's just shit DNA sample. I mean, I imagine that's where it's going to
argued. Will they use that technical term? It's a shit sample, Your Honor. This is just a shit sample.
Hey, man, they've gotten a lot more lax these days in courtrooms. You hear more F-bombs in courtrooms, you know, always under the guise that this is what somebody said than you ever used to. You know?
It's like, Your Honor, Mr. Leahy here says it's a shit sample.
Hey, everything that guy I just said is fucking bullshit. So it's, you know, I mean, look, man, you got to pick it apart one piece at a time. And, you know, I mean, she's mounting a defense. She's going to have witnesses on. You know, I mean, do you call Koberger? Not a fucking chance. You put that guy on there? No way.
Do you put him on at the last minute if you know it's doomed?
Look, it's a death penalty case. There's zero I always try to explain to people. I mean, there's absolutely zero chance he's pleading out because you have nothing to lose by going to trial on a death penalty case. I mean, they're offering you nothing, and your fate is death.
Yeah.
So you're going to try to fight it. You know, there's zero chances that's ever pleading out. And, you know, I mean, he could, like, he's certainly appears to be a narcissistic guy. Absolutely could be like a mini Murdoch and think that he's going to be able to go out there and Svengoolie the shit out of it and convince these jurors that it wasn't him. You know, like, I'm an unusual guy. I enjoy evening drives.
Do you use that to your advantage? Do you put him on the stand and then trigger him? Like, look at these hot women. None of these women will ever sleep with you. And then just get his reaction.
Just get like a smoke show prosecutor, you know, to like really get him like worked up on the stand, you know, do some kind of some trickery. I mean, we kid, but you know, It's a tough case for the defense. It is.
Yeah.
I know that there's a lot of people out there that are, you know, like thinking he's not the guy. And you have to wait until trial. There is no question about it. The evidence, we have not seen it vetted.
Nope.
You know, I am a defense attorney and through and through. And he is alleged to have done this. He is presumed innocent at this point. And we have to vet all the evidence. It's just, you know, like any human being, when you move yourself out of the attorney role, which is impossible to do, but you're looking at it just when I look at Richard Allen probable mm-hmm. cause affidavit and what they had and the evidence that they had, and I compare it to what they appear to have against Koberger, one leaned innocent to me, one leaned guilty. When I look at Huerman, fucking thing leans guilty as shit.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like they, you know, you can tell when law enforcement's done the job. And look, the law enforcement's going to get peppered in the Koberger case. They're going to get hammered. You know, you hear about all kinds of shit they fucked up and did wrong, and you're going to hear about all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Is any of that going to overcome the fact that he left a sheath with his DNA under one of the bodies of the girls? And to me, that's the beginning, the middle and the end of the case. Like it's going to be really, really tough to get over that. I don't care what the argument is. And I'm not saying it from a perspective of anything other than I know the impact that kind of evidence has on juries.
Yeah.
Period.
And it's certainly going to have its impact.
Indeed.
The latest true crime stories, expert breakdowns, and shocking twists all in one place. Press subscribe now to the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.